It's amazing how dense the gospel text can be. We have in these five verses enough to keep us going till noon, but we won't do that. But it's important to grasp this. Let's start with this notion. Mary is a creature. The most beautiful, most powerful, most holy creature ever created. She worships God with such a love and intensity, such an abasement, such an acknowledgement, such a trust. It's unbelievable to grasp the depth of her love, her commitment, her intimacy, but also her abasement. She's a creature. She's not God. And she is the mother of the Son of God. And that means that she has this relationship with him. Unique. But, like Jesus himself, she had to live a life of self-emptying. You know, it says about our Lord that he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and so forth. Our Lady did the same. This kenosis, this emptying of herself, was her whole life and reached its culmination at the cross. You see, it was to be a great honor and a privilege to bear the Son of God and to give birth to him. But that's not all she is. That's the foundation for everything she is. But you see, she was constantly invited, as John Paul II says, she had a pilgrimage of faith. And she was constantly invited to go deeper. Wonderful example there at Cana, when our Lord said to her, first place, "What is that to you and me, woman?" Woman to your mother was never said in that culture. Our Lord uses the word woman to talk about the Samaritan woman, the adulterous woman, but never to his own mother, to anybody. Only twice does Mary appear in this gospel, in John's gospel, and both times she's addressed as woman, because she's Eve. What is that to you and me, woman? Don't you realize that I am Adam and you are Eve, and that a Cana incident, and at this moment we set out on a trajectory that will bring us both to great suffering. And so she grew as Jesus did. It's an amazing text, you know, and amazes all the great theologians. The centurion made that beautiful act of faith, right? Remember? And it says Jesus was surprised. Surprise means you're seeing something that you didn't know the cause before. The Son of God was surprised by something. You see, there's an authenticity to their human growth, but especially Mary. And so what our Lord is saying here to her, who understands it very well, our relationship is not just mom and son, as awesome as that is. It is Adam and Eve. And you, in your role, are the one who enables everybody else to be brother and sister and mother to me, and conceive and bear me in your soul and your spirit and give birth to me because of your vocation. Together, we are going to save the whole world. Now, was that a rebuff to her? I doubt it. A reminder? Yes. The translations are always, you get the idea, she's sort of an interfering relative. And your mother and brothers are standing outside wishing, our text says asking, wishing to speak with you. That's all. But our Lord takes the occasion to invite her and insist upon, she's a disciple also, you see, this relationship of ours includes and transcends the basis of it, which is our physical relationship. You gave birth to me. But our relationship is Adam and Eve. I am the new Adam and you are the new Eve. This is so clearly said in John's Gospel when he calls her woman. And the translation, you could say, my hour has not yet come, but it's probably better to translate that. It comes out to about the same thing. Has not my hour already come? You know, now I'm starting on my public life, and you are part of it, but as Eve, not just as mom. And so she lived by faith, and she grew in faith. And she suffered. And this is the greatness, you see. Remember the depth of the love, the abasement, the intimacy, the joy that she has in relating to God, her Creator. Then remember, you know, what it cost her to be Eve. And now, you see, she shares the joys, the plans, and the anxieties of her son. How many times has she come to this world in the last century or so to tell us to turn from sin and begin to pray? We, the Christians, to whom Jesus confided the whole world, and look at it. We too need a self-emptying, a kenosis, a deeper understanding of our own vocation. We're not just Christians, you know, isn't that nice? We are, you know, under Christ, co-redeemers. Our intercession, our preaching, our prayer, our holiness are important to the world because Christ lives in us and the church is the physical presence of Christ on earth. So we too are called to this kenosis, this changing of our relationship and getting it deeper and more authentic all the time. And nobody can help us better with that than Mary, who lived through it and is, of course, now so beautiful, so powerful, so Christian. And so still humble, you know, always as intimate as she is with Almighty God, always humble before Him, prostrating before Him, because He is God and she is not. And nobody knows that better than she does. And that's the foundation for a love, a freedom, an intimacy, and a co-redeeming of this world. It's a powerful text, this text, and it does show us this trajectory that both Jesus and she lived through. Huh? He had to make that decision in the garden to go through with this. It wasn't just automatic. The Father only wants free gift. You know, Jesus recently said to a friend of mine, talking about the garden, he said, you know, when I saw what was coming, I was filled with revulsion. That was very deep, very human suffering by which we were saved. And that's what gives him such a union with us, such a sympathy with us, such an authority to invite us to come and be strengthened and consoled and enlightened. And you see, Mary, as the Vatican Council says, she doesn't only have prayer and example, she has influence in our life. She can change us. She can touch us if we invite her to. And her role is to dispose our soul so that we are more docile to the work of the Holy Spirit. That's her role. And if we pray for her to do that, she will do it. As that happens, we grow in a love of her, confidence in her. And she brings this sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, who then can form our heart to be more like Jesus, which is his role. And then, if our heart is formed to be more like Jesus, we are polarized in love of the Father. The will of the Father becomes the most precious thing of the world in the world. And as you notice, that's what makes all these relationships. Whoever does the will of my Heavenly Father is brother and sister and mother to me. It all is on the will of the Father. And her role is to so dispose us that our hearts are more and more formed by the Holy Spirit to be like the heart of Christ, and therefore fixated, in love with, totally committed to the will of the Father. So we should pray for one another that this great challenging text not pass us by.